CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
This is The Scoop, the number one UNC football recruiting podcast, brought to you by Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. All right, welcome into The Scoop. As I said, the number one premier UNC football recruiting podcast in the world. I'm your host, Ross Martin, joined as always by Don Callahan. This podcast is brought to you by Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. We're recording on Monday morning at 9:39 a.m. Some scheduling conflicts with covering basketball games, etc. We want to get this out, not out, but record a little bit early. So if anything happens on Tuesday or Wednesday morning, just remember this has been recorded on Monday. This should be in your feeds at some point Wednesday, we hope. Don, what's going on, man?
In general?
Yes.
Enjoying the dead period so I can kind of catch up from all the visits that happened in January, and then also preparing for when the dead period ends on, I believe it's March 1st, you know, a lot of visits are expected in those months. And then just typical family stuff, juggling the kids' sports with, and had to do some community service. I don't know if I should get into that. I got to do some more community service too.
Are you even looking at the screen?
Yeah, but I think I moved. This did something weird to me.
Yeah, you're looking off the screen.
Okay, yeah, because it like moved it. So, well, I'm looking at you. All right, that's pretty better. I was able to move it back.
All right, if you're watching on YouTube, Don is wearing an Eagles jersey. Of course, the Eagles are on. That's Eagles, right?
The Eagles, yes.
Yeah, Eagles are in the Super Bowl. Don, Philadelphia native. And he's got Mr. Right coffee mug. We got a show for you today.
I'm not an Eagles fan, though. Just make it clear.
Yeah, we're going to postpone the 2024 preview for the next 2 weeks. I know we hyped that up. It's coming this week. But we're going to dive into two commitments that UNC got over the last 2 weeks. And then go into Don's weekly scoop, which looked back at some recruiting classes. A little trip down memory lane for us. We're going to examine Don did this whole thing where he kind of re-ranked all the recruiting classes, looked at draft picks, looked at how the players were after they arrived in college and where they went in the NFL draft. And so it's going to be a fun kind of trip back. So make sure you're an Inside Carolina Premium subscriber. Check that out. Don's weekly scoops are some of the best perks of the Inside Carolina subscription. You ready, Don? Anything else?
I am ready.
Okay. Let's do it. I'm doing good, by the way. Thanks for asking.
Yeah. What's going on? You've been busy. I mean, usually, as you mentioned earlier, we record on Wednesday, but you have a lot of stuff going on. Even today, we got delayed. Lots of stuff going on.
Yeah, PTs had delayed. It's good, man. Coming off the Duke Carolina game, crazy atmosphere. But I'm all good. Yeah, we're kind of in that.
I love that you get a hold of the call sheet for the fans.
It's a little sketchy because I try to black out the numbers, but I don't think I did a good job on some of that. Yeah, that thing went kind of viral. The cheer sheet. Yeah. All right, let's get into it. All right, UNC now has three commitments for the 2024 class. We've already talked about Evan Bennett on the last episode of The Scoop, linebacker from Georgia. And then last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, Desmond Jackson, a 2024 offensive lineman from West Forsyth High School in Clemens, North Carolina, committed to UNC, 6'5", 290, in-state guy, the first offensive lineman commit of this class. And then a couple days later, on Tuesday, January 31st, Andrew Rosinski out of Georgia, another offensive lineman, committed to the Tar Heels. So UNC got two offensive line commitments in the span of a week or so, as UNC now has three commitments. Let's start with Desmond Jackson, Don. I imagine you know him pretty well from Winston-Salem area, West Forsyth High School. What famous basketball player went to West Forsyth?
Oh, God. I have a name in my head, but I feel like I'm going to be wrong. Chris Paul?
That's right.
Ah.
Chris Paul. Good job. All right. So, I mean, let's just go into this guy. First, tell us about his recruitment. You know, when UNC offered, how this kind of happened. I know UNC obviously has a new offensive line coach, offensive coordinator. Dive into that, then we'll get to him as a player and go from there.
All right. Sounds good.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So you may go his recruitment?
Yeah. What's his recruitment like? Okay. What was it like?
You gave me like a list of things. All right. So, I mean, his recruitment was pretty, you know, I guess not much to it. You know, UNC was the first school to offer him. He picked up a few additional offers later on in the season. North Carolina offered him during the season. He made a couple of back-to-back visits. And in between those visits, North Carolina offered. And I think that kind of set the stage for this commitment. He, you know, he knew pretty quickly that North Carolina was the school he wanted to visit. I mean, wanted to commit to, but, you know, he continued to kind of take some visits. And then I believe it was his only visit of January. He goes and this was that January 21st, where it wasn't a junior day, but UNC had a bunch of recruits there for the NC State basketball game. And that was when he decided to make the commitment to North Carolina.
Yeah, it seems like a guy who, you know, in-state guy, kind of always was a UNC lean. If they offered, he was a commit. It doesn't seem like there was much competition there. His other offers were Appalachian State, East Carolina, and Louisville. Looking at the complete offer list here. Okay, good size, 6'5", you know, ready, 290. It's an obvious offensive lineman. Are you know, the 260, 270 range, and have to put on some weight when they get to college. This guy seems kind of physically ready in terms of his weight. What about his game or his position? You know, what would you say about Desmond Jackson?
So at West Forsyth High School, he plays left tackle, but you just look at his body, you look at his frame, and you see a future guard. And he mentioned that North Carolina has kind of hinted at that. They said, and this is very common, they said, hey, you're going to come in and you're going to come in as an offensive tackle, and then kind of hinted at the fact that he's probably going to move inside. And that's what I feel like his future ultimately will be, is inside. He's a big kid. He moves really well for that size. Definitely, you know, and this is what happens at the high school level when, you know, the guys you go up against, you're 100 pounds plus heavier than. I mean, he steamrolls those guys, and, you know, that's kind of part of his game. He just kind of has to develop some, you know, the technique and all of that, but he definitely has the size and the footwork for the ACC level.
UNC got a commitment, offensive line commitment, from West Forsyth in a previous class, right? That ended up not going to UNC.
Offensive lineman. I'm trying to remember. I don't.
The guy went to Georgia.
Oh yeah, that's right, Jarrett Wilson. Yep.
Yeah, he was good. Wonder how he's doing.
Yeah. I think he played a little bit, and I think he might have added a ring to his collection.
Two rings.
Two rings. That's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, so different guys, like Jarrett was definitely a guard and played guard in high school, and was a great lead blocking guy, whereas Desmond is much more of a project, you know, developmental sort of guy, if that makes sense.
I'm looking at his recruitment now. Yeah, wasn't he? Didn't Jared Wilson like commit somewhere else, then commit to UNC, then commit back?
He committed to Georgia very, very early on. Okay. And that was when Sam Pittman was there. Sam Pittman left to take the head coaching job at Arkansas, and he decommitted from Georgia. And if you remember, he was the surprise commitment of when Ra Ra Dilworth committed during his announcement, which was held in his backyard because
during COVID.
During COVID, and we streamed it.
Yeah. That was at whose backyard? It was at Ra-Ra's backyard?
Ra-Ra's backyard, yep.
And now they're both
they're both not Tar Heels. Which is I know you're kind of hesitant on going through the weekly scoop I did last week where I kind of went through all the classes. But it's just so interesting, and you think about just some of these guys that everyone was so hyped up about, and then just what kind of happens. I mean, Ra-Ra, I think Ra-Ra's going to have a great career. He's at ECU, right? He ended up ECU.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of hype when he committed to UNC, and he had an average career and really wasn't able to get off the ground.
How many snaps do you think Jared Wilson played for Georgia last season?
I don't even know.
Offensive snaps. Just guess, man. It's just
100.
67.
Okay.
Okay.
Not much.
All right. Desmond Jackson commits to UNC, becomes the second commitment for the Tar Heels and the first offensive line commitment. And then days later, Andrew Rozinski with the mop top haircut, 6'6", 282 out of Creekview High School in Canton, Georgia, committed to UNC coming off a visit to the school. He has a good list of offers, nothing crazy, but Charlotte, Duke, Georgia Tech, Mississippi State, Vanderbilt. I think NC State offered him as well.
Yeah.
It's not listed on his profile. I'll add that right now. But this came as a little bit of a surprise, I believe, because I don't think we were necessarily ready for it. I mean you. what happened with his recruitment? What's going on there? And what can we expect? Well, let's start with his recruitment.
So he initially visited North Carolina over the season, and that was obviously underneath Coach Bicknell. And there wasn't a whole lot of traction between the two parties at that point. But then once Coach Clements came in, he offered, not immediately, but early in January, he offered Rozinski, which prompted the visit, which was the last weekend. Yeah, last weekend of January. And, he kind of lays this out in the Q&A that we posted. But basically, that he didn't commit on that visit, but that visit set the gears in motion for the commitment. He had already taken a bunch of other January visits. I think you hit on them all, Duke, Georgia Tech, Vanderbilt, NC State. And I guess he just felt like there's nothing left else to see and decided to make the commitment.
Yeah, I noticed he kind of ripped off some visits there. He was at Vanderbilt. He was at Duke, State, and UNC. So kind of hit all those schools. And then the last one was UNC, and he committed. There's something about UNC did it for him. Obviously, Duke and Vanderbilt, perfectly good colleges, especially for academics, but he preferred the Tar Heels. So Randy Clements gets his second commitment as a Tar Heel head coach. Now, Rozinski is slotted to be an offensive tackle via your Q&A. How do you see him as a player? And where do you see him projecting to as an offensive lineman for the Tar Heels?
Yeah, so it's kind of different than with Desmond that we talked about. With Rozinski, I think he stays at offensive tackle. He's taller, longer, has that more of an offensive tackle sort of frame. He moves really well. There's not a whole lot of clips of him in pass protection, but the few that you can see the lateral movement. He has the length. I see him as definitely a guy who plays offensive tackle in college.
Okay. And if you notice, we haven't done any rankings. We haven't mentioned any rankings for these players because all three of UNC's commitments are unranked. Now, this might be a situation where 24/7's recruiting staff, it just hasn't gotten to them yet. But it's pretty unusual. I mean, usually at least one or two of these guys should be ranked. They're the first three commitments for the Tar Heels, but they have not been. Any takes on that and why that is?
So some of it is still early in the cycle where the rankings just haven't been caught up completely. There's a lot of guys who haven't been ranked yet, so that's part of the problem. We look at some of these guys; they're not I'm trying to think. I'm trying to choose my words very carefully. The competition for these guys isn't, they're not national recruits,
mm-hmm.
To put it mildly. Evan Bennett, UNC was his only offer at the time that he committed. He did pick up, I think, Georgia State and Liberty. Desmond, you listed his offers, not bad, but not super impressive. Same thing with Rosinski, although a lot of academic schools, and that's speaks to his accomplishments in the classroom sort of thing. So these mm-hmm. aren't like these aren't programs that are competing for the playoffs, basically. So those guys, typically it takes longer for the rankings committees to kind of get to them for rankings purposes, although I imagine the next update will have a lot of guys getting ranked.
Yeah. Usually with a lot of offers comes rankings, as they get kind of recognized by multiple different regions and areas, and then the rankings come. All right. Question here, Don.
Okay.
Three commitments to the Tar Heels. I know you're going to want to choose your words wisely here.
Oh, God.
We talk a little bit off air about it, but I'm going to put you on the spot here. Is UNC just kind of taking commitments now to take commitments to kind of start getting the ball rolling? Are they being a little lazy with the quality of player here? Should they be more picky? Do you think some of these guys are deserving of a spot in the UNC's 2024 class? What's going on here? I know it's early. Just your general take on that, and we'll head to a commercial break.
I think these are guys that North Carolina has liked. Evan Bennett, he came in for a visit during the season. UNC offered him then. They liked him then. They obviously like him now, sort of thing. So, I understand the concern when the rankings aren't there and the other offers aren't there, but you don't want your staff making decisions based off of rankings and based off of what other schools do. Desmond was offered during the season, and I remember at the time talking to sources that it was really big for North Carolina. They wanted to be the first one to offer him because they felt like he was a kid that was going to blow up, and he still may blow up. He's not a kid who's, if you look at how he handled his recruitment, not a big flashy kid, didn't make a big deal about the whole commitment thing, just kind of did it, got it out of the way, didn't take a bunch of visits that he felt were unnecessary. So if he kind of gets himself out there, does some of these showcase camps, maybe he does start to pick up some offers. The Rosinski kid, was a guy who the staff brought in, but obviously didn't really pursue too much. But, you bring in a different offensive line coach and the opinion changed, and obviously they offered him. So I don't think it's necessarily they're just trying to just load up on commitments. But I think these are guys that they like. And obviously it doesn't match up with the market at the moment with, rankings wise and offers wise.
There you go. And finally, good political way to answer that. And finally, just briefly, we're now almost probably a month into more than that to Chip Lindsey and Randy Clements on the recruiting trail. Any vibes you've gotten talking to coaches and players and going to high schools about those two guys and how they are as recruiters? I know Clements has gotten two commitments already, so he has to be doing something right. Any general takeaways from those guys? And I guess, secondly, Jason Jones, and any vibes off him already as a recruiter?
No vibes off Jason Jones yet, but he was just hired. What was it, last week?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Whatever it was, 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But Clements, obviously I talked to Desmond and I talked to Rosinski, and they both seem to really like Coach Clements. So obviously he made great first impressions on those guys. It's been particularly important with Desmond, who did have a really good relationship with Coach Bicknell. As for Chip Lindsey, I've talked to all of the, I'm trying to think, I've talked to, I've talked to a couple of the quarterbacks UNC is pursuing. You look at the KJ Jackson kid from Alabama, who UNC offered immediately after Lindsey was hired. And he, the only school that he visited in January was North Carolina. And even though he hadn't had North Carolina on his radar prior to January, and that was just because of his relationship with Coach Coach Lindsey. The same thing for Jake. I don't have his last name in front of me. The national quarterback guy who UNC wasn't really on his radar, and you know he made North Carolina one of his first visits in January because of that relationship. And if you look at some of the interviews that he's done, he mentioned the fact that you know he really liked Coach Lindsey when he was at UCF, but UCF wasn't really a fit for him, so he didn't visit. But you know, you take Coach Lindsey, put him at North Carolina, and he makes a visit. So I think that kind of speaks to just the relationship building aspect that Coach Lindsey has been able to do, which is really important because quarterback recruiting is very different, and it's you love when I use the word intimate, and that makes a huge difference with if you're able to kind of establish relationships really quickly and make those strong relationships.
I've never. What's the thing about the intimate? Why do I like that?
I don't know. You've laughed at it before. I think things pop into your head when I use that word.
All right, let's get out of here with let's go to break here. First, we'll talk about Johnny T-shirt, johnnytshirt.com. Guys, check them out online, johnnytshirt.com. Birthdays, gifts, spring's coming around the corner. Get your jerseys, baseball jerseys.
My birthday's coming up.
Basketball jerseys. I have your birthday in my calendar, I believe.
Do you really? Why do you have that?
Because I just like to have my best friend's birthday in my calendar. Where is it? When is it?
March 5th.
Oh, that's a ways away.
It's less than a month.
I think that's the Duke Carolina game. Nope. Day after Duke Carolina game. Yeah. It's the first day of the UNC spring practice. Anyway, Johnny T-shirt, johnnytshirt.com. Get everything you need, all your UNC apparel needs, sweatshirts, hats, jerseys, T-shirts. Online and on Franklin Street, johnnytshirt.com. And all Inside Carolina Premium subscribers get 10% off. So it's a huge, it's a great deal to be an Inside Carolina Premium subscriber. You get all the scoop, all the VIP articles, all the intel, all the X's and O's videos. And then you get, all these different perks, access to the 10% off discount code, access to the ticket exchange, the message board. I mean, message board itself is just pure entertainment sometimes. Both boards, UNC Basketball and Tar Pit Premium. Check that out. Johnny T-shirt, johnnytshirt.com. Support a local independent company just like us. And when you're supporting them, you're supporting Inside Carolina Podcast. It allows us to do these great podcasts. We'll be back with some more ads. Talk about a historical look back at some of UNC's recruiting classes, kind of a free-form flow of Don through the history books, breaking down his classes, UNC's classes, his takes. And I guess my takes on them as players, too, be kind of a fun look back down memory lane when we return on the Scoop podcast.
What's up, y'all? This is four-time NBA champ Andre Iguodala.
Yo, and this is his best friend, the Ohio State legend, Evan Marcel Turner I.
Every Wednesday, we drop a new episode on our show, Point Four.
We're talking basketball, business, and all the culture in between.
From locker room stories to some basketball analysis from those who've been in the game.
Now, it is a dude averaging 29 and 11. God, what'd it take to be an all-star?
A win. Subscribe to Point Forward the podcast so you don't miss a thing.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua, and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk.
No.
You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter, and he said, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film, and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. All right, Don. Your weekly scoop last week looks back at signing day classes, and basically UNC's recruiting classes for the last, 15 years, 17 years?
11.
11 years. Okay. I'm going to let you describe what you did, and then let's just go through each year briefly and just what stands out. Because we tried to do this a while back, right? We were
going
to pick one class. And go
we can
it.
Go forever on it.
Yeah, so we did that. We did it one time. But let's try to go through each class briefly. I don't know, maybe some stories about some guys. I mean, I know some of these guys as well as you do. So, briefly describe what you did, how you did it, the method, the magic, and then we'll break it down. And hopefully, some people will enjoy this segment.
Okay, so obviously, I took a class, went and looked, basically, in a nutshell, how their career ended, which is why we only went, well, we went back to the 2007 class and only went to the 2017 class, because the 2018 class is still a good amount of players still playing. But anyway, just try to take 247's categories with their four-star rankings, with their high three-star, mid three-star, so on and so forth, on what, when they put those sort of rankings on a recruit, the expectation is for that player. Now, it doesn't fit exactly. And there's, when you kind of dig into the weeds on a lot of this, especially once you get into the three stars and below, there's tons of exceptions with everything. And you have to make, yeah, I wanted to be as objective as possible. So I did kind of set some limits on, you know, I'll just give them really quick. You know, five star, obviously, a first round draft pick. Four stars, anybody who's drafted otherwise. High three star, basically, if you made an all conference team, a power five all conference team. You know, a mid three star was someone who had 10 or more power five starts. And then a low three star was you appeared in at least 20 games, power five games, or you started at least 10 group of five games. And then for two stars, we're just kind of the rest of the group of five players. And then I had to make up a category, one star, which is if the players ultimately kind of ended up an FCS or a Division II school. And the reason being is that, you know, in talking to some of the 247 guys, they said, hey, if we watch a film on a kid and we are like, okay, he's a FCS kid, we're not going to rank him. And so I had to kind of make my own sort of category. Also, we have stuff like, you know, if someone took a medical hardship, I didn't include them in any of this stuff because obviously that's not fair to them. Or, and there was two instances of this with the group that we looked at, the other sports category, where, I mean, they never even gave football, college football, a chance. So do you want to start in the beginning, 2007, or do you want to work our way back and start with 2017?
Let's go from the bottom, 2007.
Okay.
Okay.
This is the infamous class.
Yeah. So this was this one of Butch Davis's first classes?
This was Butch Davis's first class.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, this has probably the most famous recruit in UNC history, right? In Marvin Austin. Yeah.
Infamous.
Infamous. I mean, anyone who it all follows UNC football should know Marvin Austin, his history with UNC. It also has Mike Paulus, which was kind of a weird thing because Greg Paulus was playing basketball for Duke. I remember I was a student when Mike Paulus committed. I remember it being a pretty big deal, and I didn't really follow recruiting. And then you look through it, you have some guys who had great UNC careers. Greg Little played basketball at UNC as well. Quan Sturtevant, Dwight Jones was a big-time recruit. He was a five-star, right?
Yeah.
And ended up, you know, not having as big of a UNC career. And then going through this, you know, those are the main guys that stand out to me. What stands out to you looking through this?
So the first thing I want to point out that was interesting is, so when I went back and looked at these things, I relied heavily on the media guides. And do you know that the 2010 media guide is not available on UNC's website? It's the only one.
Yeah. So, I mean, they've tried to wipe away all this, the history of Butch Davis's recruiting.
Yeah. So that made it difficult for me. I had to get creative with trying to find out information. But yeah, the Paulus thing is interesting because he ultimately he fell into that one star category that I mentioned, you know, because he had to finish his career off at William and Mary. But yeah, so you know, you had three draft picks. You had some guys like Dwight Jones and Tadrique Powell who had some really good careers, you know. Beyond that, I mean, this was a highly ranked class. I think it was, if you're going by the points that 247 gives, I think this was the second best or third best class.
Well, I'm seeing it ranked number 10 in the nation.
Yeah. Is this 2007?
Yeah.
Now, I think for points wise, the 2009 class was ranked higher, you know, but I mean, some of this stuff too, once you get further back, it's harder to kind of compare, but yeah, I mean, this was a decently ranked class.
And also one thing to consider is that 24/7 sports didn't exist back then.
Correct. So there was a lot of backtracking.
Yeah. So there's like, there's no photos on these profiles. The rankings probably only combine Rivals and Scout and probably don't include a 24/7 Sports ranking.
Correct.
I imagine. Because 24/7 Sports didn't start until like 2010, 11 range.
Something like that. Yeah.
Ryan Houston is a name that, you know, I remember him being a pretty good player for UNC as well. A big power back.
Yeah. Yeah. Was he? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And they gave him I gave him a low 3-star, mostly because of the lack of starts. But
because he was part of a running back duo, I think. I think he played a lot. He was a goal line guy. All right. We got to move on. We got to kind of roll through these. All right. 2008, another Butch Davis class, you know, stands out here. Is that you re-ranked three of these guys as 5-stars. Jonathan Cooper, first-round pick. Quentin Coples, first-round pick. Robert Quinn, first-round pick. Now, Quinn has put together an unbelievable, long, you know, pretty consistent NFL career. I don't think Coples did much in the NFL. Cooper had injuries. But, I mean, he was, for a guard, I think he was drafted 7 overall.
Yeah, something like that.
By the Cowboys, maybe. And then, of course, big names like Kevin Redick, Zach Brown were in this class, A.J. Blue, who had a pretty good UNC career and was, of course, a big part of UNC football right now. That's what stands out to me. What about you, Don?
Yeah, I mean, this class, you have 4 draft picks, including 3 first-rounders. I mean, that's amazing. You know, I think I counted North Carolina had 7 first-round draft picks in this entire grouping, and 3 of them came from this class. So that's pretty significant.
Yeah. So, good.
Beyond that, I mean, you know, you had some solid guys. AJ Blue's in this class. Well, AJ Blue's in 2 of these classes because he had to prep a year. But you know, he's at UNC working on in the strength staff. But yeah, some solid guys for sure. I mean, the top, it's definitely top heavy.
Did you have Casey Barth listed here?
No, because Casey Barth, so I only consider a guy who signed. Casey Barth did not sign because he was, I guess, it is a gray shirt, yes. So he enrolled as a walk-on and then was put on scholarship that following spring.
Because he was, I mean, he held the kicking record for a while.
Yeah.
He might still hold a lot of the records. Okay. Yeah. Yep. High end. I mean, you just see the talent that Butch Davis was stacking. 2007, yes. 2008, with all these first-round picks and NFL draft picks. All right, 2009. You know, Bryn Renner, a friend of Inside Carolina in this class. He had a really good UNC career. You know, Dante Page Moss was a big-time recruit. I remember that. Mm-hmm. Trying to think through this. I mean,
well, this was the highest-ranked class if you're going by 247 points.
Okay, yeah, and sorry, you have Kevin Redick. Sorry, I had a message.
Kevin Redick twice because he had to go to Hargrave. Okay. He signed twice with North Carolina.
So why'd you listen twice?
Because he signed twice. So I'm listing signees.
Okay. I mean, I don't know what else stands out to you in this class. I mean, Hunter Furr, I remember his recruitment. He was like a big, fast guy, but he didn't do much at Carolina.
Yeah.
He ended up transferring to East Carolina. A good fit for that kind of guy. anything else? CJ Feagles, is that a punter? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I went up to New York.
Well, really? I mean,
basically, it's, New Jersey. Yeah, New Jersey. But basically,
his
New York.
Dad was an NFL punter, right?
Yeah. Longtime NFL punter. Yeah. Yeah. And he only lasted, I think, like a year or two. And he was actually, I think it was 1 year he was North Carolina's punter and then lost the job in the offseason. And then he quit football. Yeah, I mean, the interesting thing was this, is, as I mentioned, this was, you know, 247's North Carolina's best class. And really, the 2008 class is way better. There's only 2 draft picks, Travis Bond, Brennan Williams, who's actually a WWF or WWE superstar, which is awesome. Renner had a tremendous career. But, yeah, I mean, that's a lot of flops, really, because you look at all these 1-stars: Hawatha Bell, DJ Bunn, Ray Davis, Josh McKee, you know, and then, you know, Joshua Adams was a big time. I don't know if you remember that he committed on the signing day prior to his signing day. He's a 4-star guy, and he actually played a good bit early on, and then he had that I think I had a blood disease or whatever that forced him to give up football, which is unfortunate. And then you had Donovan Tate, who's one of the guys who signed with North Carolina, but was a first round baseball draft pick and decided to go that route. But he was a big time recruit.
Got it. All right. 2010. Now you're getting to, you know, names that more of the modern fan will recognize. Giovanni Bernard, obviously been in the NFL forever and had that big punt return, was really good at Carolina. He had some injury early in his career at Carolina, but before he left, Russell Bodine was a longtime center for the Tar Heels. Trey Boston, you know, I think he started 4 years, played in the NFL for a while, and is now with the AC Network. Sorry, I'm having some burping issues. Kareem Martin, NFL draft pick, Tim Jackson. James Hurst was a five-star guy that was undrafted in the NFL, but did put together a really long NFL career as a guard and tackle for the Ravens. What else stood out to you in the 2010 class?
Yeah, I mean, this is another class where it wasn't super highly ranked, but you have 5 NFL draft picks, which is impressive. And then James Hurst, which kind of, as I mentioned earlier, what do you do? You know, I have the categories. He wasn't drafted, so if I stick to my rules, he's not going to be a 4-star. But obviously, had a great UNC career. He started like a crazy amount of games for North Carolina, as did Trey Boston, and then played in the NFL for a long time. But I have to give him the high 3-star ranking. Another very, very good class. So he is actually among this group, and I believe it might be overall. James Hurst started 49 games for North Carolina, which I believe is a record. That's insane.
He started as a true freshman, right? True freshman left tackle. Yeah. Yep. He was a big time. Pull up his profile here. James Hurst. I mean, he was a 4-star, but a high 4-star. Yeah. Ranked number 35 in the nation. All right, cool. 2010, good class. No, this was getting to Fedora range now, right?
Yeah. So Fedora's first class was the 2011 class, right?
Okay. Yeah.
I think
because he was a coach in 12 was his first year as a coach, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to.
People are yelling at there.
We should. Yeah, people are. Yeah. Definitely yelling at us.
Fedora coached at UNC from 2012 season 2018. So that means.
Oh, the 2012 class would be his first then. Yes, that would be right. Yeah. So this is still Butch Davis class.
Okay.
The 2011 class. So
yeah. Now we're going to 2011 class now.
Two first round draft picks, Eric Ebron and Sylvester Williams.
Yeah. And a, very 3 or 4 year starter in Landon Turner. Who was really good for the Tar Heels there, especially in that 2015 season. Tim Scott, I know he had a lot of starts for UNC. TJ Thorpe was a good receiver. This has Marquise Williams. Yeah, a lot of big names here. Travis Hughes was a big recruit. Norquitus Otis, Romar Morris, Sam Smiley, Jack Tabb. Anything else stand out to you?
Yeah, so you mentioned Tim Scott. He had 45 starts. Which blew my mind. I knew he started a lot, but I didn't realize he started that many games. But yeah, this is another really, really good class. 3 draft picks overall, 2 first rounders, you know, a bunch of all conference guys, Tim Scott, TJ Thorpe, Marquise Williams, who was obviously a great quarterback from North Carolina. A lot of solid guys also on there, you know, so this was a very, very good class.
Yeah. I was surprised. I saw your little note about Tim Scott because he's like one of these guys, the guys that started the most.
Yeah.
Let me pull it up here. Yeah. UNC start leaders, James Hurst, 49, John Heck, 48, Quinshon Davis, 47, Tamon Fox, 47, and Tim Scott, 45. And I just remember people like really hating on Tim Scott because I feel like safeties get such a bad rep.
Yeah.
Because they're responsible for missed tackles that lead to touchdowns. Missed coverages that lead to touchdowns. You know, you look at this past season, people hating on Cam Kelly, Giovanni Bernard, and even Trey Boston. And the guy had a great NFL career, but people, I feel like, always were hating on Trey Boston when he was a Tar Heel as well.
Yeah.
And Tim Scott, especially. I mean, people destroyed him. All right, 2012, as we move along here. 2012, I mean, these are guys that I covered. Quinshon Davis, John Heck, who is still on the staff for UNC as assistant strength and conditioning coach. Caleb Peterson, a great guard for UNC. Shaquille Rashad, friend of the program. It goes down the list of guys you will recognize if you followed some of these Player Fedora teams.
The one thing that stands out to me overall is that this was obviously, this was the year Butch Davis is fired. Everett Withers took over and was hopeful to keep the job. He didn't, and Fedora got it. And you can kind of see how the transition impacted this class. No draft picks, so no first rounders, obviously. So the best you got was a bunch of high three stars. Now those three stars are Quinshaw Davis, who Fedora got in with later on. Gunnar Brewer did a really good job kind of reeling that one in. Caleb Peterson, I believe, was a guy that
committed to Southern Miss.
That's right. And then
with Coach Cap, and then
Coach Cap was able to kind of bring him in. And then Heck and Shaquille Rashab are two guys, and we talked about this when Shaquille was on our podcast, that they committed to the school. They were really they were solid recruits. Rashab was a high three-star guy, but they committed to North Carolina because they wanted to go to North Carolina, and it didn't matter who the coach was. So obviously it just kind of fitting that they also were the better ones ultimately in this class.
Yeah, Rashad had no idea who the coach was going to be. He just showed up in January, I think.
Yeah.
All right, great. Oh, but James Summers is on there.
Yeah, and Paige, I'm actually
– Paige quarterback.
I'm actually surprised that he didn't have a better career at East Carolina, to be honest.
And he spent some time at a community college as well, it looks like.
Yep. Yeah, he did.
I remember watching him. I was living in Greensboro, I think, when they had made a run to the state championship game. I think they might have won the state championship.
Yeah, they won. Yep.
He was a good quarterback for the Page Pirates. All right, 2013. This has some of the guys, stars of the 2015 team. Mitch Trubisky is your revised five-star because he was the number two pick overall. You have Nazir Jones, TJ Logan, Ryan Switzer, all first round, all NFL draft picks. Lucas Crowley was a great Tar Heel. Bug Howard, Des Lawrence, Donnie Miles. And the guys that started a lot, Mikey Bart, DeJuan Drennan, RJ Prince, Brian Walker, all made tons of starts. Your thoughts on this class?
This was actually, if I had to pick among these 11, the best class. This was, I thought, was the best class. You have a first rounder. You have four additional draft picks. You have four guys who were all conference selections. As you mentioned, you had a bunch of other guys who started a ton of games for North Carolina. The sad thing is that one of those draft picks was Marquise Haynes, who just could not get into UNC. The admissions department would not allow him to. But then he had a great career at, I think it was Ole Miss. But this is a great class top to bottom. This is, and the other thing is, you know, the saying always is, you know, that transition class is always really bad. And then, that a coach's first full class is always the best one.
Yeah.
And so here we are with Fedora's first full class, and look how it turned out.
Yeah. You're selling hope. You're selling newness. Come here and be a star under this new regime. We're going to turn the program around. Yeah. All right. 2014, Elijah Hood was an interesting recruitment. I think he flipped from Notre Dame.
Yeah, basically, yeah. He decommitted, waited a couple of days, then committed to North Carolina. But, yeah, you, basically flipped.
You have Prohl as a four-star. Now, why is that?
Because he was a draft pick. He was a seventh-round draft pick.
Really? Okay.
We double check to make sure, but I'm pretty sure he was seventh round draft pick.
No, I believe you. By the Bills, maybe.
Yeah.
Okay. Austin Prohl.
Now, do you remember his recruitment situation?
No. I mean, he was out of Charlotte, right?
Yeah. So he obviously had the relationship with Gunnar Brewer because of his father and Gunnar. And he actually was helping North Carolina a bunch in recruiting Bentley Spain because they were teammates. And Brewer had to fight to get a scholarship spot for him because I think they had filled up at wide receiver. And just before Prohl's senior football season, Brewer was able to convince Fedora to give him a scholarship offer. And how crazy is it is that he's one of two to be drafted out of this class. And he was one of the last ones to be added to it.
Yeah, he had a pretty good career. He just didn't get a chance until Switzer left to really be a star. And then he was good his senior year, but had some quarterback issues that year as well. Also in this class, Malik Carney. Malik Carney was a great edge rusher for the Tar Heels. Jeremiah Clark, Casey Collins. Avery Edwards did not make it to UNC, right? Because he got arrested.
Yes. I was actually telling this story to someone recently. Do you remember what happened with that?
You steal something?
So now I probably, because I don't know for sure, a lot of this is what I've been told. So I probably shouldn't, but I'm not saying this is fact. This is what I've been told. Was apparently there was a party, and you know, Edwards went to Ravenscroft, which is very, very expensive school. And so you imagine a lot of the students that go there come from very well off families. But anyway, so someone had a house party. And during the house party, I guess it was like a case of Rolex watches missing.
Yes.
And I guess the parent whose watches were stolen sent out an email to all the other parents, say, hey, you know, be on the lookout, yada, yada. And then like the next day, the watches were returned or just kind of showed up on the porch. Somehow or another, Avery was connected with that. But and so North Carolina cut ties with him.
Yep, remember that.
And he ended up at Maryland and actually played a bunch Maryland.
Casey Collins, Avery Jones, Brandon Fritz, Bentley Spain, Freeman Jones, Alan Artis, Aiden Vanilla, Robert Dinkins. I mean, all these guys. I remember kind of covering some of these guys. Jared Cohen had a
well, I was going to ask you about him.
A weird UNC career.
He's one that kind of falls into a weird category because he started a bunch early on and then just kind of gave up football.
Yeah, he like left, went to some school, and then came back to Carolina.
He committed to come back as a walk-on. And then I think he practiced and then left again.
Yeah, it was a weird deal.
I had Michelle help me a bunch because she's awesome at research with some of this stuff, and she had uncovered that he ultimately went to Towson State and played on a competitive flag football league, and that was kind of how his career ended.
Yeah, he had because he started as a true freshman, Coach Cap, and then
he was a good player too.
He went to Maryland, right?
He committed to UVA, but never showed up.
UVA.
There was a lot of other weird stuff that happened too. It was just weird, and it's just he's one of those ones where you wonder just what his career could have been if he would have just, I don't know. I don't know what he was what was going on behind the scenes.
Okay. I'm reading the article on it now. Nathan Elliott was wrong class. Josh Cabrera, Jared Cohen, Caleb Henderson, who never really did much as a quarterback for UNC, Devin Perry. We got to kind of move on here. All right, 2015, Mike Hughes played one year at UNC as a freshman, had some issues, which never became really public, and then
went to a JUCO, then ended up at UCF.
UCF, and it was a first-round pick.
Yeah.
That's right. Charlie Heck, Andre Smith, Jason Strobridge were your draft picks. Strobridge played in Mac Brown's first year at UNC. Aaron Crawford was a really serviceable nose tackle for the Tar Heels. Anthony Ratliff-Williams came in as a quarterback, switched to wide receiver. J.K. Britt, Nathan Elliott, who many will remember, William Sweet, Nick Polino, you know, Tyson Williams, who ended up transferring out, Jake Bargus. Jalen Dalton, who was a big recruit, and been back in and out of the NFL to practice squads. You know, Javal Mulette, I remember covering his recruitment. He ended up transferring to, I think, Mars Hill College.
Oh, did he? See, we went and looked.
I'm not sure he played though.
Okay. Because we went and looked, and I don't think he played. I mean, I guess I shouldn't say that because maybe we didn't find that, but.
It's hard to find news when like no one's covering Mars Hill College.
Yeah.
That's
your guy, Tommy Hatton.
Yeah, no comment. Tommy Hatton, Mason Veal. Yeah, it's a bunch. I mean, this is a pretty good class, right? I mean, Charlie Heck.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you have four draft picks overall, including Mike Hughes's first round draft pick, and a bunch of solid guys. There was one. Oh, Jalen Daunton, which you touched on, but man, that was a big competitive recruitment.
Mm-hmm.
And according to my categories and all that, he was he ended up as a low three star, which I feel like, just kind of looking back, kind of fits, because I felt like there were some opportunities there, but he just never did what was expected of him, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. He had some issues at Carolina. I mean, I remember the Cal game, he had that penalty, which cost UNC that game. It's never materialized as a, he had some bonehead plays, but this is class was ranked number 19 in the nation. I covered this recruiting class. It's one of the kind of the first ones I really covered. I'm sure I was scooping you on all these commitments here. But Andre Smith, great Tar Heel. Strobridge was great. Crawford was great. I mean, Mike Hughes, you know, what if with him? He could have been a,
yeah.
I mean, he was an unbelievable athlete. I remember Tommy Hatton's recruitment was funny too. Kind of came in out of nowhere. So definitely some memories out of these. Jake Bargus was like a Wake Forest commit and flipped to UNC. Mm-hmm. Charlie Heck was like a tight end, weighed like 240, and he ended up being a NFL draft pick in place of the Houston Texans.
Yeah,
they took two quarterbacks this class. They took Elliott, and they took Anthony Ratliff Williams.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Ready to go to the next one? Two more left.
Two more left, and then we'll be out of here. 2016. You know, Chaz Surratt is the big name out of this one. Was a quarterback, and then ended up being a two-time first-team All-ACC linebacker. Miles Dorn was a big commit. Tamon Fox. Kyrie Campbell, Jordan Brown, DJ Ford, Tyron Hopper, Patrice Rene was a pretty big recruitment. Dominique Ross, Greg Ross, KJ Sales, Garrett Walston, Miles Wolfork, you know, Marlon Dunlap. Kyrie Campbell and Marlon Dunlap, I don't think ever, they either transferred or never showed up, right?
Yeah. Campbell never made it to campus, and Dunlap was there for, I think, a season and then left. They both ended up at Florida,
yep,
and played different amounts.
I mean, Kyrie Campbell was like he had been committed to UNC forever.
He was a huge recruitment, too. That was that competitive recruitment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rontavious Groves, Roscoe Johnson. I remember all these guys. Jonathan Smith was in-state guy. It was between Duke and UNC. The quarterbacks were Logan Bird in this class and Chaz Surratt.
Logan Bird ended up transferring down and then converted to tight end.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. JJ McCargo was a pretty big recruit that ended up just kind of.
Yeah, he had medical. Some injuries. Yeah, he took a medical. Yeah.
Luke Elder too. Tyler Pritchett. I mean, a lot of these guys. This class. No, it's the next one. So a lot of big names here. Anything stand out to you?
Yeah, I mean, the Chaz Surratt thing is interesting. You know, it's funny because Surratt and Bird were the quarterbacks, and they both didn't end up playing quarterbacks. You know, ended their career as non quarterbacks. You know, it's actually, I think it's like a solid class because you have a lot of mid three star guys. You have one draft pick. You have three high stars or high three star guys. So obviously they're all conference selections. So it doesn't look great on the surface, but I think it's a solid class. But there definitely is some flops in there. You know, Nolan DeFranco, who I felt like was on roster for like 25 years but never played.
Yeah.
You know,
one thing I'll say, the last two classes, the quarterback commitments, that's the reason why Larry Fedora got fired.
Yeah.
Is that Anthony Rallett, but not more Nathan Elliott, Logan Bird, and Chaz Surratt did not develop into quality college quarterbacks. And so that's why those 2017-18 teams were not good. They didn't have a quarterback.
Yep.
They have a good quarterback. They brought in that LSU transfer. Remember that guy?
Yes. God, I forget his name.
Yeah.
He's actually a recruiting.
Yeah. He was great. I remember talking to him. That's why these guys did not develop into quarterbacks. And not until they got Sam Howell was the UNC really have a viable college quarterback. All right. Last one. We'll get out of here. 2017 class. A lot of guys will know from the Mack Brown era. Michael Carter, Marcus McKeithen, Daz Newsome. Michael Carter, Marcus McKeithen, Daz Newsome, all NFL draft picks. Jeremiah Gimmel was like a 2-3 year starter. No Ruggles, ended up transferring, playing for Ohio State. And then guys like Brian Anderson, Bo Corrales, Jordan Tucker was a starter. What's that?
Corrales is the only one on this group that's still playing.
I think he's injured too, though. He's had some surgeries. In this class, the higher ranked guys ended up not. I was looking at earlier. The highest ranked guys in this class: Jonah Melton, Jake Lawler, C.J. Cotman, Trey Shaw, J.T. Cawthon, Billy Ross, Zach Gill. All those guys are the highest ranked kids in this class. They didn't do much at UNC.
Yeah.
Right. And once you get down to Michael Carter, Jeremiah Gimmel, Jordan Tucker, Marcus McKeithen, Daz Newsome, even Bo Corrales, those are the guys that actually did something at UNC.
Yeah. And Daz Newsome, I'm forgetting his name now, but Daz Newsome was really good friends with a kid who ended up, DB ended up signing with Virginia Tech, who was like a high 4-star guy. That North Carolina recruited heavily and missed out on, and Newsome would always come with him to a lot of visits. And it's just funny how it works out that Newsome ended up being the much better player overall, and came in as a DB and ended up being a really good wide receiver. The other interesting thing is that in the bowl game, North Carolina played against one of these guys. You know which one?
Jordan Riley.
Yeah. How funny is that?
I just pulled him up. Jordan Riley, I think he played 1 year at UNC, transferred to JUCO. You know why?
I assumed academics.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. And was at Nebraska and Oregon. So he's been at North Carolina, Nebraska, and Oregon. And he's from Durham, North Carolina. He's out in Oregon.
Yeah.
Think he might be still on the team.
Well, he was when he went to JUCO, he was in Kansas. And if you've ever been to Kansas, to those JUCOs, that's the middle of nowhere. That's the complete opposite of Durham, North Carolina.
He was on, I think, a JUCO team. Was that on one of the ones that was on the Netflix show?
None of the ones that I've seen. He went to Garden City.
Maybe that they played one of the Netflix show ones.
They might have, yeah. They probably did.
Because they did do one on Kansas after they left Mississippi. And then a lot of guys you just like, forgot about in this class. Antoine Branch, Caleb Rosar, Malik Robinson, just guys that didn't do anything and end up transferring or just leaving the program.
Yeah. A lot of transfer out.
CJ Cotman, medical, I think. Jake Lawler, played a little bit and kind of just, I think he got his degree and he's out in LA. Jake Lawler, I know his mom and dad listen to the podcast, big friend of the program. That was an interesting class, yeah. Because I remember Jake Lawler and Michael Carter were buddies, and they kind of led the recruitment for this class.
That was a fun class from that side of it, because I remember Michael Carter and Jake would kind of compete on trying to land guys. Mm-hmm. And they were very, very vocal on social media about all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. If you look at it, I mean, Marcus McKeithen, one of the better players in that class. Along with Daz Newsome. All right, good stuff. That was a fun look back. Hopefully y'all enjoyed that. You know, maybe spark some memories for y'all, for those who are diehard youth football recruiting fans. That was fun, Don. Anything else to add?
No. Do you have any thoughts on what we just – I know that you weren't a huge fan of doing this, but was it fun to look back?
Yeah. It's always good looking back with you. I got to go. I got a teleconference here with Hubert Davis here on Monday morning. So let me get out of here. But, guys, appreciate y'all listening. Thanks to Johnny T-Shirt, johnnytshirt.com. We'll be back in 2 weeks, I think, with the 2024 preview. I think we have to do it in the next 2 weeks.
Okay. Sounds good.
Who knows? I don't think – will UNC have any commitments by then? Any more commitments?
You just have to see.
There you go. Stay plugged in Inside Carolina, insidecarolina.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. And make sure to subscribe and follow us on Inside Carolina YouTube page.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.